So how about we pray and we'll look at God's word this morning. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that we can come and worship you. Thank you that you are a God that is worthy of all our praise and adoration. Thank you that you love us, you care for us dearly. And Lord, as we gather together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you would minister to our heart and our soul. Allow your word to be fresh and new. And we pray that the Spirit of God will minister to us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, I've been away for quite a while. And when we weren't here at church visiting, or we weren't in another town visiting a church, Linda and I stayed at home and did home church. We would find a message from someone that we knew on the internet, and we'd hook it up to the telly and we'd sit there and watch it. And from doing that, I learned a few things about home church, or from doing home church. One, that I really missed coming here, and I missed you. That's one thing I learned. Also learned that I would never grow in the Lord if I did home church. I know that. And it made me realize that there's more to church than just hearing a message. I can see why God designed it to have a local church the way that we have. And I learnt that I certainly need Christian fellowship and encouragement. I also need Christian accountability, making sure that I'm not drifting away from the Lord. And that's what the local church does as well. One thing, though, that I didn't learn that I hadn't really thought of before, and that is I love coming together and singing with fellow believers. When we were doing home church, Leah and I didn't sing. That would have been a little scary. And so we just put the video on. But I realized, it wasn't long before I realized that I enjoyed coming and singing with fellow believers. One, when you've done it all your life, you don't realize what you have until you lose it for a little while. And it made me appreciate what we have here in a wonderful way. But it did get me to think, well, why do we sing? Why do we gather together as believers, as a church? And yes, we pray, we read God's word, we listen to God's word, but why do we sing as well? It's certainly not a common practice when people gather together for various reasons. Unless you're a choir getting together and to sing, you generally don't sing when you get together. You know, when car club members get together, they don't sing for a little while first. Or coffee lovers down at the coffee shop, they don't sit around and sing about their coffee. Or I've never been to one of those men's sheds, but I suspect they don't sing for the first half an hour before they do whatever they do there. But we come together and we sing. And I'm guessing it must be rather strange for someone that's never been to church before. They get invited to come to church, they get given one of these things, and then people start standing up and they start singing out loud with one another. That could be rather daunting. I suspect if you'd never done that before, to sing out loud in front of other people. No wonder when you have a visitor and they've never done it before, they're just quietly mumbling. They don't want to go too loud because people might hear them. And so it's not a common thing and it must be daunting. But why do we sing? Is it just a tradition that's been passed down from generation to generation and that's why we do it? Is it man-made? Or is it actually something that God wants us to be doing? And this is important because if it's just a tradition and a man-made thing, well, then we can take it or leave it. We don't really have to do it if we don't want to. But if it's what God wants us to be doing and it's something that pleases Him, that means we have to be very careful what we sing in order to please Him and how we sing in order to please Him. And even our attitude while we're singing, if we want to please Him. And so, if you have seen the title, you'll see, why do we sing at church? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. And the first reason is found in our key passage in Psalm 33, verses 1 to 3. Let me read that first. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. The first reason why we come to sing, or we sing at church, is because God enjoys hearing us. It says there in verse 1, rejoice. Now that word simply means to cry out aloud, or to shout, or really to sing. And so it says, rejoice in the Lord, or sing about the Lord, O ye righteous. And then it says, for, this is the reason why we do this, for praise is comely for the upright. The reason why it says here is God thinks it is comely. That is, it is beautiful for him to hear and see the righteous sing to him. And the context here is people playing a number of instruments while singing to the Lord. And that's what we do here. We have people that play skillfully on instruments as we sing to the Lord. And we're told here that God loves to hear us sing to him. It is beautiful. It is like a sweet smell of perfume going up to heaven. He enjoys it when we come and sing to him. You know, in December, the choir, like most Decembers, are going to present to us various songs as we celebrate the birth of our Saviour. And if you're someone who actually gets to sit in the congregation and listen to the choir, I'm sure you'd agree with me that it's beautiful to listen to. I look forward to hearing them sing because it's beautiful. But we shouldn't think that God is any different when it comes to them singing. Have you ever thought that God looks forward to choir night and hearing the choir sing to him? But it extends more to just the choir, but us as a congregation. Have you ever stopped to think that God looks forward to hearing us sing to him? On the basis of what we see here from the Word of God, we're told that it is comely, it is beautiful to God when the uprighteous sing. He enjoys it. Which brings a warning to us. You know, for those in the choir, when they sing, it's obvious you sing with vigor and passion and zeal. Very evident. You want to do a good job. Point I'm making is, I wonder if that's how each one of us come on a Sunday morning and Sunday night as we sing to God. Do we come and sing with zeal and passion because we are actually singing to our God and Creator? Have you stopped to think about that when you're singing? I wonder if the choir sang to us in December in the same manner and the same attitude as we sing on a Sunday morning, would we actually be impressed? Would we sit there and think, that is so beautiful? Or would we sit there thinking, well, they don't really want to be here, that's pretty obvious. Their mind's somewhere else, you know. Do we sing with the same passion to God as the choir does on those choir nights? Well, I think it's good to remember one of the reasons why we come and sing on a Sunday is because God loves hearing us sing, and we're singing to him. That's the first thing. The second reason why we sing at church is because God commands us to sing. This is found in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, where God has told his people to sing to him. If we look at our passage there in verse 2, it says, praise the Lord with harp. Now that's not a suggestion, that's a command, an exhortation. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. There are many other passages in the Old Testament also that tell us about how we ought to be singing to him. Psalm 30 verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." In Psalm 9:11, "Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." That is what he commands us to do. Sing as saints and declare his greatness. In the New Testament, we have two main passages. Turn over to Ephesians, would you please? Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we have a passage about singing, telling us that that's what we ought to be doing. In Ephesians 5, we'll start at verse 17, where it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now turn over to Colossians chapter 3, would you, when we have a similar exhortation. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. It says there in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And so we discover in these verses alone that singing is commanded. In the letter to the churches at Ephesus and at Colossae, the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to give commands in this area. As you come together as believers, I want you to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and give thanks to God. And so singing really is non-negotiable. That's why we do it when we meet together as a body of believers in corporate worship. God has specifically commanded us to do it. Now that alone is a good enough reason. And so if we met regularly and we chose not to sing, we would actually be disobeying God. So I have to keep that in mind as well. So why do we sing at church? Not only does God love to hear us sing and we sing to him, he tells us he wants us to sing as well. But in these New Testament passages, there are a number of other reasons why we sing at church that are worth looking at as well. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, we read one of them. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'll read verses 19 and 20 again to you. It says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Verse 20, it says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God." And so that's another reason why we sing. We sing to give thanks to God, thanking him for all things, both past, present, and future as well. And one of the greatest things that we should be giving thanks for as believers is the fact that we are redeemed, that we have been saved from our sin and we have been placed into his family and we have that wonderful promise of heaven to come. That is something to sing about. The natural response from being saved by God is for his people to sing. If you don't want to sing about it, the chances are you're not saved, because it's something to sing about. When there's something you're excited about or you're glad about, there is this inbuilt desire to want to sing about it. What do you want to sing about? Here or at home? What do you want to sing about? Turn over to Exodus chapter 15. This is one of the first mentions of singing in the Bible. We know the story in Exodus 15, the great escape by the Israelite over the Egyptians as they went through the Red Sea, and they were saved, yet God brought that ocean back and destroyed their enemy. And what does it say there in verse 1? Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And so on. What did they do when they got saved by God? They sang. Now turn over to the very end of the Bible in Revelation. We go right into the throne room. Revelation chapter 5. It's at the end of history. In the throne room of heaven, the 24 elders are there, which is a picture of the church itself. And in verse 9 it says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You see, singing is a natural response of the redeemed. At the center of our worship, as the redeemed, there should be singing about what God has done for us. Songs like, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. You know, we ought to be singing and giving thanks to God. You know, I read of an atheist who was a comedian, and in his performance he was ridiculing all religions of the world. And he was describing each religion in a very simple way, trying to make fun of them. But it's interesting what he said about Christians. He said, it seems like all they care about is that Jesus died and that he did it for them. And it's like it happens every week. They get so sad about it. Now, he tried to do that to ridicule Christians, but he has hit the nail on the head. That's what the main focus. We are redeemed because Jesus died and he did it for us. And as we sing and we give thanks to God for that, that helps us to feel as though it just happened. Even though it happened so many years ago, the reality is that he died for us. And so why do we come together and sing at church? To give thanks to God for all things. But it doesn't end there. If you turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we see a few other reasons why we sing at church. It says there in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. Another reason why we sing at church is to teach others the things of God. That's what it says there. Teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teachers, particularly, will be able to tell you that one of the best ways to teach children things is by getting them to learn it in a song and singing about it. The alphabet song. I still know the alphabet because of the alphabet song. That was very helpful. Still puts me in good stead today when I'm trying to work out what comes after one letter. Yeah, still use it. I know that when my kids were little, to teach them how to cross the road properly, I taught them a little song. I was thinking I could get them up and sing it. No? You should ask them what it is. I know. In fact, they got sick of me singing it whenever we come to a road. Oh, no. Now, get one of the kids to sing it to you later. But singing helps you to learn things. And this is the point. Those who have spent a lifetime singing the great hymns of faith, not specifically out of this book, but those great hymns, I don't think they realize how much of the doctrines of God have been embedded within their very psyche simply by being taught these things through singing them and having others sing them as well to them. Hymns like immortal, invisible, God only wise. That alone's a wonderful teaching lesson. Or the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. Or as we're going to sing, I think, at the end, oh, worship the King, all glories above, and gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, our maker, defender, redeemer and friend. You know, there's just so much there that you can learn. We learn a lot about what God is like, what he has done for us, what he is doing for us, what he will do for us, simply through singing about him. And so, if you want to learn about God, one of the good ways is just come to church and sing the hymns. If you want your children to learn about God, get them along so they can sing the hymns and have others sing to them as well, teaching them. So I wonder, have you ever stopped to think that as you come here on Sunday and as you're singing, you're actually teaching those around you the things of God and teaching yourself in the process? Well, that's another reason why we sing at church. But there's another reason that I missed out here in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing so that we might admonish one another. Admonish can be used in various ways. It could be simply to remind each other of things about God. It could be to caution each other or to warn each other about various things. And so that's one of the another reason why we sing is so that we can warn each other of things that we ought to be looking out for as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not listen to someone when they say, hey, look, would I be able to tell you something that I'm a little bit worried about with you? We may not want people to do that, and we may not listen. You may tune out when the preacher's preaching about something, but it's a little bit hard to ignore 100 people singing it to you. When 100 people are singing, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. A little bit hard to ignore that one. Or if 100 people are telling you to take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. Or if you're grappling away and you know that you're not right with God, I'm suspecting it's quite hard to stand up and hear 100 people sing, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. When you've got people singing that to you, it's a little hard to ignore. Now, one thing though, just because it's a teaching time doesn't mean that when you are singing and you know someone needs something, you turn to them and you sing out a little bit louder to them to make sure they get it, you know. That might be what you really want to do sometimes. I know that when you're preaching and you hit a nerve, you see family members turn to each other. You know, like, you do it that way. And so I guess you could do it with singing too. If you're singing about something, you want your wife to know, you just sort of turn around and sing it. Or, well, we should let the Holy Spirit do his work as well, shouldn't we? But we're here to teach each other. And admonish one another as well. Think of that when we sing next. Another one. It's the last one, all right? We see here, in verse 16, we first of all see here, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We sing from our heart, we're told. The seat of our emotions. There are many verses that show us that singing isn't meant to be some cold, stale thing, but there is emotion attached to it. You know, in Jeremiah 31:7 it says, "For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob." There's gladness as you sing. That's an emotion. In Psalm 57:7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." In Zephaniah 3:14, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart." It has to do with our emotions as well. And so the last reason why we come to sing is we sing because it affects our emotions toward God. Towards God. You know, there are certain songs that affect my emotions more than others when we sing. There are parts of songs, and every time I sing it here, it just touches my heart and makes me think about God in a special way. Love, as we learnt this morning in Sunday school, isn't feelings. That's not the foundation, but feelings are a part of love. And when we sing, when we sing those particular songs and parts of the song, when I just say the words, it doesn't affect me anywhere near as much as when I sing those words, especially when I sing it with others as well. Music can stir up all different types of emotions, feelings of joy, feelings of triumph and gratitude and adoration and even sadness. And music that does this isn't wrong. Now, we understand that music can also stir up the wrong types of feelings as well. Feelings that are sensual or rebellious, and they produce fleshly outcome. And the devil is the master at controlling this world through that sort of music as well. And that's why it is ever so important to make sure that the music that's played here in this church fits the character of God, the one that we're singing to. And he says that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth, that we're to worship him with holiness as well. I think too many churches have forgotten that. And might I add, it's just as important that we don't allow music that produces rebellious and rebellion and sinful pleasures to be a part of our everyday life as well. I shouldn't speak on God's behalf, but I'm quite certain this is biblical. He's just not interested in you coming and singing good music or good songs with good words, with good music here at church, and then you can go off and fill yourself with stuff that is full of flesh and sensual things in the privacy of your own home. You know, that isn't honouring the Lord. Lord says, in whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all to his glory. And so that's here at church as well as at home as well. You know, as a young man, I'd go to church and I would sing the hymns because that's the church that I had to go to with my parents. But for the rest of my life, I filled myself with fleshly music. And that's why I was a very rebellious, carnally minded young man who was just full of lust and pride and anger and rebellion and disobedience. That's what I was getting taught with the words that I was listening to. That's what type of emotions were being spurred on through the actual music. It was music of rebellion and flesh. And that's why getting taught good music is so important, because the music we listen to affects our emotions and eventually forms our character. And that's why, as the pastor here, in conjunction with Andrew, music director, and Dorothy, the choir director, I was going to say master, but that doesn't sound right. I want to make sure that when people come here, they hear music that stirs their soul in a manner that is honoring to the Lord, and they hear words that will teach them and warn them and glorify God. That's very important. So as you see, singing is not just something we do because some man thought it up and we've just kept doing it. This is what God wants us to do. He wants to do it because He loves hearing it. He wants to do it because He's commanded us to do it. He wants us to do it because that is just a natural response to being saved. And as we give thanks to Him, He wants us to teach one another and admonish one another. He wants us to draw closer to Him. Now, if you bundle all that into one saying, you say we come and we sing at church because we want to worship God. We worship Him by singing about His greatness and His beauty and His might. We worship Him by singing about what He's done for us and what He's going to do for us. We worship Him by singing praises of thanks. When we come together and sing, it's a form of worship to God. Now, I said it is a form of worship. And I want to make that very clear, because it's not the only way you worship. If you were to listen to the way that many churches speak today, it seems like singing is the only way you worship. It's like they have their worship in the service as though singing is the only way you worship. They have worship leaders, but all they do is conduct the singing. They should lead in lots of areas if they are a worship leader. You know, if you do a study in the Word of God, you discover that worshipping God takes all different forms. Yes, singing is one form, but you can worship God by praying to Him, by giving thanks in prayer to Him. You can worship God by asking Him things. You can worship God by giving Him things. As Lynn prayed, this was an act of worship when we gave our tithes and our offerings. You know, you can worship the Lord by listening to Him. You listening to His word today is a form of worship. And you know what's even greater? When you worship Him by submitting to Him and surrendering to Him. There are all different aspects of worship. And so, when we come to worship God on Sundays, we do it in various ways. Praying, giving, reading, hearing His word, fellowshipping one to another and speaking about God. This is our worship as believers in Christ. Now, having said that, what I want to do is take that thought, and for the next few weeks, what I would like to do is look at what we ought to be doing when we come to worship God on a Sunday. I want to look at what is the character of true worship and the character of false worship. Now, music is involved with that, but it's not the only thing. It's the whole thing that I want to look at. Do we worship God in a manner that He's pleased with? Is the character of our worship pleasing, or is it really just a form of idolatry? Well, we'll look at that in the next few weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have a God that is worth singing about, and a God that is alive today and can hear us sing and enjoys hearing it. And Lord, I pray that we would keep that in mind each week as we gather together and sing. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.